gentlemen, with a couple of smart guys, that being Charles Walshine, foreclosure defense attorney extraordinaire, also Stephen Schwartz, businessman aficionado, entrepreneur. And by the way, sponsored by Walshine Law. Check everything out on the site, walshinelaw.com. As we try and get a common sense into some situations in life. That's what we try and do with solutions and everything else in play here. Say good morning to Charles and Steve. Guys, how are you? Hope you're well.
Good morning, Jay. Hey, Jay. Good morning. How are you?
What up? What up? Everything is good. Everything's fine. You know, I was watching the delegation carrying the article of impeachment to the Senate chamber last night. And somewhat disingenuous, one of the managers of the House committee there that'll be leading the way regarding the trial, somewhat disingenuous regarding Eric Swalwell, leading the charge with the allegations of cavorting with a Chinese spy. But you know what? The way I see it, Charles, anything goes in life. Anything goes in life in this crazy world we live in. But I guess the game is on, and even a third insinuation of impeachment in play regarding the DOJ and everything else, and the previous president trying to cajole as far as overturning results and everything else. But it is what it is. Give me your assessment of it all from last night.
Right now we have a mess. They all seem to be very preoccupied for now with an impeachment that has a high likelihood of failure of conviction. They're also very busy trying to undo everything Trump did in the last days. There's something like 20 executive orders that were just suspended, not revoked, just suspended for 60 days until they can look at them. Those were done in the last days of the presidency. They're very preoccupied with that. And they're also very preoccupied with COVID. Now, if you ask me, for the next 100 days, you do nothing but COVID. Because that is, I mean, everything else is just like a sideshow, as is, I believe, this impeachment trial. It's a complete sideshow. It's a political stunt at this point. And right now, there's something like 3,000 to 4,000 people dying every single day. You know what? Get busy. You can't, we have shortages of the vaccine. We don't know about, like we talked about last week, we don't even know what's going on with the second dose, if there's going to be enough for that, if this whole thing is going to turn into a giant debacle. Get on it. Forget about everything else. Keep your eye on the ball and just focus on the task at hand. Save lives.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm starting to have my doubts, as always, when people are big talkers. You know, Steve, we know that city, state, and the federal, the efforts really in utter shambles regarding, you know, this vaccine. Listen, it was a couple of months ago, Joe Biden vowed to shut it down. Remember that whole thing? Shut down, shut it down. The pandemic, once he became president. Now that he's sitting in the big chair, he's finding it a bit harder, and even said Friday, nothing we can do to change the trajectory of the pandemic in the next several months. So, you know, you have the old switcheroo here once again from a politician that he switched to vowing to have enough vaccine for all who want it by the spring. Even as his team says, they don't even know how many doses are on hand. I mean, come on. Get with the program. No pun intended, Joe Biden. What are you assessing right now regarding all that's going on in the White House in this vaccine, Steve?
Well, reality is set in. It's one thing to talk, like you say. I'm not a fan of people who talk a great game and do nothing. So you're right. And I think Charlie makes a great point about the first 100 days of his presidency should be devoted to this COVID and not this nonsense and the politics and the slideshow that we're all going to be watching. I think he dropped it when he... He had a great opportunity. I was thinking about this a couple days ago to really say, I don't think we should impeach. I don't think we should impeach. I think the nation is more important than Donald Trump. or one man's ego. I kept saying, one man's ego is not more important than the country. And this was a great opportunity for Joe Biden to put politics aside. And yes, you know, Donald Trump should be, you know, held responsible. And like I said, he should be held responsible for the inciting the Capitol. But I don't think that he should be held responsible and then at the same token be put back on the front page when the front page should be COVID. And it should be COVID, like Charlie said, for 100 days straight. His first 100 days should be devoted to getting this right, to getting it right. And like you said, Jay, you're right also, because, Jay, bottom line is, it's politics. It's just more of the same nonsense that we've been talking about for months. And Joe Biden could have changed the whole curve by having to actually going against his own party and back actually standing up and saying, no, humanity, COVID-19, forget this right now. You know, forget it, period, because this is going nowhere. He's gone. I still don't get the rationale of trying to go through, have the nation go through 100 days or a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks and take our focus over, you know, of what's important, which is humanity.
Listen, Charles, Biden's effort should be 1,000% concentrated on this pandemic. I don't want to hear about the Keystone Pipeline. I don't want to hear about shutting down, you know, opening the borders up. I don't want to hear about a minimum wage, you know, $15 minimum wage for all. Listen, this guy is trying for a replay of the Obama year, the first one. And, you know, he's got something on his agenda that needs priority. Full concentration and all, not some of this other stuff there. And listen, you can't help but think he is trying to appease here the Sanders left and the progressive left, even more so. And that's a little scary right now, because all efforts have to be on this pandemic.
You know, at a time when everybody's like sort of people, if you don't have a government job today, you know, you're pretty much starving to death. You don't know where your next dollar's coming from. If you're not on the civil service, not that I begrudge them their money, because they make a lot less when they start working and they have good pensions later. So it's a trade-off, right? But the $15 minimum wage has been on the table for like a long time. And I'll tell you what's wrong with the $15 minimum wage. $15 in New York means a hell of a lot less than $15 in Oklahoma or, you know, someplace out west or place in northern Florida across the south. You know, the standard of living is the same, but it costs so much less to live there. So, you know, with mortgages, they have, you know, like Fannie Mae has much higher limits in expensive areas like New York and lower ones in other places. They ought to scale it to take some of the sting out of it and have to introduce some common sense to it. But, you know, I'm in favor of that. There's a lot of stuff that's going to get debated, but the truth is, they have to actually have a debate. You can't have them start screaming at each other, which is, by the way, why I think this impeachment is such a bad idea, is because if you want people to start talking again, which is, you know, what we want in Congress, right? If you want that to happen, you can't say, okay, well, in the morning, we're going to put on a political sideshow, and basically we're looking to make every Republican look bad, and to hang what happened at the Capitol on Republicans for not speaking up, and then in the afternoon, we're going to be friends and reasonable. It doesn't work like that. If you want to hold out an olive branch, you hold out the olive branch. You know, you forbear from acting like, you know, acting nasty in the morning and being like, oh, this is just, you know, it's the big political game. And then in the afternoon say, okay, guys, come on. You know, all bets are off. Let's be friends again. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, pretty much, Charles and Steve. You know, one last thing on this pandemic, we'll move on. And that's, you know, Anthony Fauci, I'm starting to see the light, Steve, with Fauci a little bit more. I'm not happy about it. He's a scientist, right? He's a carryover. Biden wants him. So let's just concentrate, Dr. Fauci, on the data and the science. I got to hear him now on all the talk shows, okay? And he's sounding like a typical politician. I don't want to see Fauci as a politician. I want to see Fauci as a scientist, okay? When I got to hear him last week on CNN, that a lack of candor, as he put it, from the Trump administration has cost lives here. I don't want to hear that. You know what? If you go back in time, you go back to last January when Fauci assured us that this virus convulsing China at the time is not something the citizens of the United States should be worried about. You know, if we want to blame the past president, blame him. Blame him on the lack thereof in his final 8 weeks. He did nothing regarding the pandemic. Listen, he lost the election because of the pandemic, without question. But I don't need to hear Tony Fauci right now be a political pundit. I don't need it. I want science. I want numbers. That's what this president emphasizes. So let's hear it from the chief as far as the pandemic is concerned. I don't want to hear this, that, and the other thing regarding what went awry here, because I can cite plenty of misnomers regarding Anthony Fauci, Steve.
Dr. Birx was just as guilty when she's coming out on all these talk shows now saying that, she didn't make the graphs up and that was all coming from Trump. Why didn't she say it at the time? I mean, why is she coming out right now of all the times? Now she's brave. Now she's going to come out and she's going to start sitting there saying that Trump was, making graphs up in the middle of the night in the White House and bringing them out, and all of a sudden that was it, to make Trump look bad. I mean, be brave and do it right on the spot. I mean, there were lies on the line here, and what she's saying is probably 100% true. But I'm with you, Jay. I mean, it's ridiculous, and that goes for Fauci. Stick to the science. I don't need another political pundit out there sitting there, talking about stuff that he's not the expert on. Everyone's getting out of their lane. He needs to stay in his lane. He needs to lead us through the science, to a better outcome of where we want to be, and that's through science. So I'm with you, Jay. You're right. You're right on with that.
Yeah, it's like a ping pong match with Tony Fauci, Charles. Even with a mask, you remember Fauci's advice on masks back in March when New York was just being decimated. He told us masks were useless. Right now in the country, people should not be walking around without them. Guy told 60 Minutes this. Listen, which way is it, Tony? You know, which way is it? Okay, lock yourself in a room. Give us data, study it, give us the science, and quit being a political pundit. I am done with Tony Fauci. I got to tell you, I got no confidence in Fauci at this point, Charles.
Well, I got to go the other way on this a little bit. The proper thing to say, the politically correct thing to say, and the accurate thing to say is, we're here now, and whatever happened in the past is in the past. Let's just move forward. Because he was asked, Adam said they didn't volunteer this. They were put on the spot and say, how did you feel professionally during the Trump administration? And this happened, by the way, this was all, left-leaning media was doing that. They were asking this question. And the truth is, it's irrelevant. Who cares? I agree with you guys in that sense. Who cares? Who cares what he thought? Let's just move forward. And that would have been the classy thing for both of them to say, Birx and Fauci. Who cares? Let's just move on, please. This is yesterday's news. Let's just get to the business at hand.
Vaughn, I can't take it, though. I can't take the back and forth. Listen, Trump, and I'll use it one more time here. Trump, with the travel ban last year, Fauci credited the action with saving lives. And I was listening and reading, with Peter Navarro and everything else, what he had to say, White House advisor and everything else for economics. If Biden had been the president, according to Navarro, and Fauci had been his top advisor, according to Navarro, he would have lost probably a million more Americans. And quite frankly, my final thought on Fauci is just shut up. Give us the science, okay? I don't want to see you on CNN. I don't want to see you on MSNBC. I don't want to see you on Chris Cuomo. I don't want to see you on Fox anymore, all right? Enough is enough. give us the data, the science, and guide this administration out of this mess. That's what we need Fauci to do, if he's going to be a part of the team. So, in essence...
Completely agree. Completely agree.
In essence, that being my final thought. Super Bowl set, Steve. You know, I'm not happy about it. I got to tell you. Same old, same old. And listen, the guy's the greatest quarterback I've ever seen, Tom Brady. He's got an angel on his shoulder. It's ridiculous. I mean, anything he does... it's the Midas touch. It really is. Even to the point of after the game, going over the stands and hugging his son. I mean, if that wasn't a moment in time, everything this guy does. Can he do anything wrong? I mean, Tom Brady with three interceptions, he still wins the game. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, looked like Richard Todd of the old days. I mean, the eventual MVP of the league. I mean, I can't believe it. And I'm sick of the Kansas City Chiefs also. I'm tired because they win. They're great. They can't do anything. I mean, is it going to be a good Super Bowl? Kansas City will win the game, I think. Kansas City will win the game. But I'm not really looking forward to this Super Bowl because of the same old situations that take place here. What's your thought coming up?
Well, it's going to be a great Super Bowl. I think you're going to change your mind as the weeks go on. But I got to tell you something. I was rooting so hard for Green Bay. I wanted Green Bay to win that game because my daughter is a diehard Green Bay Packer fan. We've been to Lambeau together. And, you know, we had a nice rooting interest. The game was lost right before halftime. You talk about an angel. I'm sitting there and I'm saying, all right, a field goal won't hurt you. Okay, the way a touchdown's going to hurt you. Just don't let it happen. And sure as the angel, just like you said, Tom Brady and all the angels up there, he does the fake and go pattern. The same way the Jets beat the Jets the exact same way on the last play of the game. It was the exact same pattern. This guy had him beat by like 3-4 steps. You can't let that happen. This is the championship game. You can't let that happen before halftime. But that's the greatness of a guy like Tom Brady. He thought they thought that, and I looked at him and said, "There's the game right there. I don't care what happens. There is the game." He knew that they were thinking that he all he wanted was the field goal. And I'm sitting there yelling. I am a smart guy. I'm definitely a perfect member of this smart guy committee because I swear. I was screaming, don't let this guy get his... He was going for the kill. This guy's got, you know, he's a killer, this guy. He's just a killer. And with angels all around him. And of course, you know, we all know the result. He ends up winning a game that he single-handedly won this game. If you could imagine any other quarterback on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, this team has been a loser for years. It really was a one-man show. And you know what he did great at the end of that game? He goes up there. They let him go. I've never seen this done before. They get on the podium. They let him go before the head coach, before everybody. They give him the trophy. And he felt so silly. He goes, come on, guys. Let the other guys get in here. And he takes the trophy and he hands it right to the coach. And the coach, you know, was like meaningless. No one wanted to hear from anyone but Tom Brady. And as far as the Chiefs go, Mahomes is the best team in football, and if there's another angel and miracle that happens, I'm going to tell you, they're going to need all the angels and miracles, and I won't bet against the Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, but they're going to need a lot, because that Chiefs team is loaded, Andy Reid is a genius, and again, I was rooting for New York, I was rooting for Buffalo, baby, and, you know, they'll be good as the years go on, but they were no match for the Chiefs. So I have to say, as the days go closer to the Super Bowl, Jay Oliver will be very, very into this and very, very, you know, you're going to get all that great food from Long Island and you're going to go and you're going to eat your eggplant and everything that comes with it and you're going to have a great Super Bowl and I think it's going to be a great game.
Feeling it right now. Kansas City's too good. I'm so sick of Travis Kelce being open. You know, it's like a touch football game on the street. Back in the old days, Charles, you know, everybody got open. That's what happens with the Chiefs. You know, everybody's open. They can't guard them. I was hoping Green Bay Buffalo myself, but to no avail. But Same old stuff. Tom Brady in his 10th Super Bowl. Here we go again. Tom Brady and Giselle in the stand. Well, you know, Giselle, okay. But Tom Brady, you know, again, taking those snaps, man.
You know why you didn't enjoy the Super Bowl? Because Schwartzy and me, we're gonna email you an order for a 7-foot hero. You're getting a 7-foot hero at your house. Okay, I know you can't invite anybody over, but that's why you're gonna like it. We're gonna get all good Italian meat from Arthur Avenue in the Bronx. We're gonna get you one of those $200 7-foot heroes, and you're gonna sit there and eat the whole thing. That's why you're gonna like football. It doesn't matter who plays. And by the way, who's Tom Brady?
You know what? Brady is Brady. What can I tell you? I mean, he's the greatest greatest quarterback in the history of the game.
Oh, that's Tom Brady. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That guy.
Anyway.
You were thinking Greg Brady. No, that's
listen,
Brady.
Right now I'm not feeling it. So.
I'm thinking Marcia Brady. By the way, is Tom Brady married to Marcia Brady? That's what I want to know. I think he's a cyborg from like another galaxy. He's absolutely the guy in terms of athletics and staying ability. He's into his 40s. I was a cripple and I never even played football by the time I was 42. This guy gets hit 100 times a game and he gets up. He's fresh as a daisy. I don't even ever see him with a black eye. He doesn't limp. Who is this guy? He's a cyborg. I'm telling you, he's not a human.
Human. Listen, we get to the coveted award we give out on a weekly basis, ladies and gentlemen. That is the Bronze Turkey Award for those who have stepped in it. And we've got the winner from last week, and we will nominate for the upcoming right after these words. Okay, the winner of the Bronze Turkey Award, by the way, very coveted award for those who have stepped in it. The nominees were Ted Cruz, Chris Miller, and Jared Porter. And you know what? Ted Cruz was a very close second. Well done, Mr. Schwartz. But only to Jared Porter, whose tenure with the New York Mets lasted as long as a selfie of you-know-what showing his particulars. But in any of the case, this particular win goes to Jared Porter for his sexting and whatever the heck it was with the New York Mets. They found out about it. And that was the case. Jared Porter, former general manager of the New York Mets, with the coveted Bronze Turkey Award, because he really did step in it. Charles, can I get your nominee, sir, for the upcoming?
Well, you know, I hate to do this because it's supposed to be, it's like his big week, but I'm going to nominate Chuck Schumer. Because, I mean, I happen to love the guy, but this week he's just got it wrong on every level. I saw his interview last night with Rachel Maddow. It was a great interview, except he's fighting McConnell on one hand, and, you know, rightfully so, but he's got it so wrong on this impeachment thing. It's, if he wants to get things done, this is not the way to do it. You can hold off, take it slow, but there's so many more important things that have to get done right now. This is a major distraction, and I believe it's going to cost lives. So he's got I'm in favor of who he is and what he's done. But right now, he is 100% wrong. He's got to put this thing off the side and say, we're in the middle of a major crisis. This is not time to be screwing around with politics. Chuck Schumer.
Chuck Schumer, how about that? Going out on a limb there. Mr. Schwartz, may I have your nominee for the upcoming?
Well, first of all, congratulations, Jay. Good job.
About time.
You sure picked it. I'm very proud of you on that one. I am going with Coach Matt LaFleur of the Green Bay Packers for something that baffles the mind. You never take away the football from Aaron Rodgers and say, I'm going to let my defense try to win this game. And this guy... And I could go back. There was one play in that game that's the obvious, but I'm going to give you not an obvious play. They're up by, I think it was five. They could have made it four. And it was early in the game, and they didn't kick the extra point. They went and they tried to get the two-pointer. That two-pointer is so stupid to do in the beginning of the third quarter. When you need the game to be four, because if the other team kicks a field goal, you're within three for the seven, and then you got a tie. because it's hard to get a touchdown and then a two-point conversion. So that drove me nuts when they do it early in the game, because they're not even doing right now. But then, at the end of the game, it's fourth down. Everyone's going, all right, Aaron Rodgers, it's fourth down. You got to let him go for it, because you need 8 points. You need the touchdown, and you need the two extra points. You're not going to have enough time, even if you have a better chance that if he missed it, the ball would still be at their 10-yard line. You could, if you stop him, you'll get back better field position. This guy dropped the ball, Matt LaFleur. He really deserves the Bronx 30 Award. I am passionate and about this, that this guy has to win this award this week.
Listen, it's a good pick. This was a rookie mistake, although it's his second year, Matt LaFleur. I would have obviously given this guy, the MVP of the league, the chance to throw it in on fourth down. At least gives his team a chance to tie the ball. Listen, Brady, all he needed was a couple of completions, game over. Green Bay never saw the ball again. I like your pick, sir. I'm going to throw in my Tony Fauci pick because, you know, on the magazine covers and everything else, enough is enough, Anthony Fauci. Just stick to the science, please, and let's try and guide this administration through this mess. My pick, Anthony Fauci. Guys, tremendous. We thank you. Segment brought to you by WalshineLaw.com. Check it out, and we'll talk to you again next Tuesday. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Jay.